Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody. Sponsored by and presented by Anecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
Today I have with me Margarita Coppolino. Did I pronounce that correctly? Margarita. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's great to be here.
Your title is Disability and Diversity Consultant, is that right?
Yeah, it is.
What does that entail exactly?
Well, what I really loved about the title, being Disability and Diversity and Consultant, means that I could actually take on anything in regards to those two particular subject areas. So diversity could mean diversifying income, diversifying customer services, or diversity in regards to equal opportunity, discrimination, and disability tends to be quite broad in advising on disability issues.
So it really is quite a wide-ranging title that enables you to do all sorts of fabulous things by the sound of it.
Yeah, because my background, I have I'm a qualified mediator, trainer, employment counsellor, support wage assistant, so different roles can be undertaken.
Yeah,
in the not only in the disability sector, but in the private and non-for-profit sector as well. And that's what makes the kind of work that I do quite exciting, because I am not typecast into one particular title or role. Each project's quite different because of the skill base that I have, and that's what makes it really exciting.
Is that something you've always enjoyed doing, different things and challenging yourself in that way?
Yeah, look, I've always enjoyed a challenge. I feel that most of the projects that I've embarked on has been really exciting, because I always see myself very much just being the catalyst, working with organisations who really want to create change and make a difference, and that's been really exciting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sometimes the media like to harp on about the fact that we don't like change, and we're sometimes accused as a society of being a bit backward.
Yeah.
But it's really positive to see that there's a lot of businesses and organisations out there being progressive and getting on the front foot and making change. How does diversity fit into something like a workplace? How do you go in and say, okay, in order to be more inclusive, you need to do X, Y, or Z?
Look, I think that's a really good question. I think what we need to do is just go back to the basics and look at some years ago. We started out with the affirmative actions back in the 80s, and then we moved from the affirmative action to equal opportunity, and then organisations then went from equal opportunity to diversity. So what was really good about that progress is that the thinking and the models that we use for organisations was organic and was progressive. So it wasn't just one way of doing things. Now what's happening is companies here and internationally are thinking more in an inclusive way. So inclusion is more about going back to the basics of working with people as individuals. Diversity was more about working with people as groups. So groups pertaining to people with disabilities, gender, sexuality. Whereas inclusion is about working with a person as an individual, so they can self-disclose in any of the diverse groups.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting, that people don't feel like they're being typecast in one group.
It's very easy to get typecast and
click on the podcast tab via the new Joy website for the best of Joy.
joy.org.au. But also because of our own internal ones that aren't always conscious. So I think it's wonderful that there's people like yourself out there who can sort of nudge people in the right direction. How did you come to be working in this way?
Look, I think that's a really interesting question. Most people, when they grow up or get older, because I always say that I got older, I never do grow up. That's a bit of a short joke.
Indeed.
I fell into various roles, and I always remembered when I was younger that I always wanted to work with people. I always wanted to make a difference. So I was just very lucky that I was surrounded by mentors along the way, because they saw that I was very good at being a change agent.
Yeah.
As one of my greatest mentors said, if you want people to change, you've got to model it.
Indeed you do. As a social work student myself, that kind of gets rammed down our throats from day one, but it's also very much a personal mantra of mine that you have to kind of drive it yourself and hope that other people come along for the ride with you.
Absolutely.
And that's the greatest thing I think we can offer as a society, is trying to be more aware of difference and diversity. And can you tell me a bit about your work with the Department of Planning and Community Development here in Victoria?
Yeah, look, that was a very exciting project. I took on the role in 2006 to actually implement their very first Disability Action Plan. They were known as the Department of Victoria Communities at the time. I was able to go in to an organisation and implement a Disability Action Plan. Previously to that, I was the one who developed Disability Action Plans for organisations.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave me an opportunity in that 6 years that I was with that organisation to not only implement it, but monitor it, influence change, create a group of ambassadors in the organisation so that I wasn't the only one.
As an agent of change, you need to make sure that it's viable.
Yeah.
Past your or someone else's individual involvement. And often I think organisations sort of make that mistake sometimes and put in an action plan and then put it in the bottom drawer and sort of never look at it again. Did you have any of those issues in your previous jobs?
Look, I think if I go back to talking about the department at the time, what was really interesting for me was, yes, you would just say you've had a plan and then the document lives on the shelf. Unless you've got somebody driving it, it just sits on the shelf. It really doesn't create change. So most action plans are written in a way that we do a particular activity, we tick the box, yes, we've done that. We all employ people with disabilities, yes, we've done that, and move on. But what became very clear to me during that time that I was in that particular department, it wasn't changing the culture. So what it enabled me to do was to come up with a new model and rethink what the organisation could do differently for its second generation plan, so that the culture was what was driving the change for the next plan. So what we did was that at that time, organisations had to do women's plans, Indigenous plans, Human Rights Charter had just come into play, and Disability Action Plan. So what I did is I went to the executive and I said, look, why don't we do an inclusion framework that incorporates all of the populated groups? We embarked on a 12-month development phase where all the staff in that department were involved in the development of the inclusion framework, which was to drive the behaviour of the organisation. What does it mean? Having those discussions around what a diverse workplace is, but what's an inclusive workplace? And what were the shifts? What were the things that the organisation needed to look like if it was going to be inclusive and not just diversity?
Did it pan out the way you imagined?
Look, I think at the time when we had the focus groups and the discussions, what was really exciting about that is it got people to really think about their own values and the organisation values. It's, for some people, those values didn't marry up, so it looked at, well, what the organisation needed to do to embrace people's difference. The other side of that was that we consulted with what we call the population groups, you know, like the Office for Disabilities, the Office for Women, and the Office of Youth. Now, up until that particular time, populated groups were very into, well, we like our plans because it's about making sure that their issues get profiled.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a lot of work had to be done to work with the population groups to say, yeah, look, we all do have similar issues. There is an advantage having an inclusion plan.
Mm-hmm.
As long as our needs don't get left behind by having an integrated plan. So that's where most of the change actually had to occur.
Yeah, I think that's...
from a policy as well.
From a policy point of view, that's a really good thing, I think.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the New Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. joy.org.au
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.